I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Good Monday, Seahawk fans, and welcome into Hawks Talk here on CSN and iTunes. Thanks for listening. As always, I am your host, Joel Gunderson. Well, we're a day removed this week as we took time to observe the holiday weekend. And maybe that's not a bad thing because I think it took a day to digest just exactly what went down Saturday afternoon at CenturyLink Field. In case you missed it, it was a pretty simple setup for the Seahawks this week. Win your final two games over two teams under 500, one of which next week, San Francisco, has two wins on the season, and they would have locked up the number two seed in the NFC, which would have given them a first-round bye and home field advantage throughout the playoffs until the NFC title game. But this Seahawks team, for whatever reason, just cannot do anything the easy way. Saturday night against the Arizona Cardinals, who, to be fair, have been a continual pain in the backside for Seattle for a while, came to Seattle with all the aforementioned on the line and dominated the Seahawks from the opening kick. They really did. You can't sugarcoat it at this point. Seattle, especially offensively, was manhandled for the majority of the game. They ended with 27 yards of offense after the first quarter, and that should give you a pretty good indication of how the rest of the game went. The scary part for Seattle, looking back, that's not the first time this season they've ended the first quarter with less than 30 yards, by the way. It's the third time. Arizona's defensive front seven had their way with Seattle's offensive line for three quarters of the game. But the first half especially exposed the deepest, most viable flaw on this team, and that is the offensive line. We've talked about it all season long. It's not a surprise at this point. Russell Wilson was sacked five times alone in the first half. On plays he wasn't sacked, he was either hurried or knocked down. And an entire season's worth of questions. Could the line find consistency after a good outing? Because they've had a couple. Could they show tangible, undeniable improvements throughout the year? Were answered on Saturday. Those questions were answered completely. They've now played 15 games. I think you could pick out three, maybe four, where you say they didn't hurt the team. The offensive line, they didn't hurt the team. Now defensively, Seattle wasn't a whole lot better. And when you have the combination of the offensive line and when the normally reliable defense is playing under par, you're not going to win many games. As I hinted at, Seattle did rally from their 31-18 deficit that they faced in the fourth quarter. They actually tied the game after Russell Wilson found Paul Richardson for a touchdown with just over a minute to go. It was their third touchdown of the quarter. They scored 21 points. But Steven Hauschka missed the extra point, leaving the game tied at 31, and then Arizona moved the ball with absolutely no hesitation down the field, kicked a field goal as time expired, and left victorious out of Seattle for the third time in four games. Like I said, Arizona does have Seattle's numbers, so it's not as if they were beaten by a team that they normally have dominated, but still. In the fourth quarter alone, Seattle allowed 20 points. They've only been giving up just a hair over 16 on the season per game. But don't let the final score and the fourth quarter rally and the positive outlook you're going to hear in a few minutes from Pete Carroll fool you. This team, as it stands now, with just one game remaining, has absolutely no idea who they are. It's pretty clear, though, from the outside looking in, and that's our job. They're an uber-talented team with one fatal flaw, that offensive line, and they've lost any sense of confidence at exactly the wrong time. After the game, Richard Sherman joined Carroll in this, "We're okay, everybody's okay" way of thinking. He said, "It's not an opportunity lost," talking about the game that they had to win to control their destiny. "You would love to make the road easier, but sometimes you have to take the harder road." Well, they're certainly doing that, and they didn't have to. Here's Carroll after the game as well, and you're going to hear his comments, and we're going to talk about it afterwards.
"Well, that was a really disappointing ball game for us here. We had a lot of stuff we want to try to get done today, and we just didn't look like ourselves at all in the first half. This wasn't good football, and it wasn't anywhere like we wanted to play. We were able to put together a ball game in the second half that gave us a chance. It was a terrific comeback and gave us the opportunity to get this game. And but all in all, it just was not the way we wanted to go about this. So I know we're disappointed. I know our fans are disappointed going into the holiday and all that kind of stuff. We want to go home and have fun and all that. Well, we're still going to have some fun. You guys can. We're going to go to work. But it's very tough loss, I thought. And a lot of really good stuff happened. I love the way our guys were able to turn it around at halftime, score a bunch of points, and put a bunch of yards on the board. And all the guys that made the catches for the touchdowns, all the receivers and Jimmy and all those guys, that was really special, gave us a chance. And whether we made the kick at the end or not, we're still going to have to stop them. And they did a nice job to get the ball down the field, and the game made a great kick for them. And something about this this matchup, these games are really tight with these guys, and probably no surprise.
Go ahead.
I was going to say also that Tyler got hurt today, and I don't know the extent of the injury other than he is going to have surgery, and so our thoughts are with him.
You mentioned the offense turning things around. Did that just kind of start up front, clean some things up, or what was different?
Part of it. You know, everything was just better in the second half. You know, the line of scrimmage, it starts with the line of scrimmage. We just had issues in the first half in every phase of it, and I don't know why it looked like that so early, but the good part was the guys were able to turn it around. The adjustments at halftime fell into place, and guys really played well coming out of the half, and it gave us the opportunity to be in the game, which we almost were able to take advantage of getting a win.
Pete, how's Thomas Rawls doing? I know he left the game.
He bruised his shoulder. I thought it was a nice job by Alex coming in. He did a really good job giving us a spark and helped us out there in the third quarter.
Is that a fracture? Do you know anything more about that injury on his shoulder?
No, it is not. It's a bruised shoulder. At least that's what we know right now.
And with Tyler, is it fair to say he's out for the year with that surgery?
Yes. It's fair to say.
What's your assessment of the offensive line play?
Did you come in late? Yeah, we didn't play well from the start, you know, and we had all kinds of problems protecting the running football. We had nothing done in the first half. It's surprising to see how we turned it around, you know, as far off as we were early. But that's what we expected to look like in the third quarter, fourth quarter, and we protected the quarterback well, ran the ball well, and put up a bunch of yards that wasn't there in the first half. So it was obviously in us, and that's why we expected that. That's why we're disappointed it didn't happen throughout the whole game.
And yards.
Had a great game, yeah. Just did everything. I thought the receivers really came through, and the catch and run stuff was great. Of course, Russell, you know, had to deliver the ball, but you could see the protection changed and everything opened up. Doug was able to take advantage of it. I thought the catching and running was really exceptional today. We have a lot of work to do this season. You know, we have a lot of stuff coming, and we have to stay together and be there to get right and get better and keep improving. That's how you do it right now. You keep improving and keep working to improve. And it was so obvious that we could do that during the course of a game. We can do that for a whole game, too, and we need to find that.
Did Nate do anything different in defending the read option than what you guys have typically seen?
No.
When a player goes down with a bad-looking injury like that, what is the effect on the team? Is that jarring? Startling.
Yeah, these guys love Tyler. He's one of the guys, you know, and so they take it hard, certainly.
What were the issues on some of the explosive plays that they were able to get in the passing game?
Well, they got behind us on the big pass on the post. You know, it's not supposed to happen, you know, and catching and running was pretty good. You know, they real quick pass for the big play down to the 1 yard line. That was off the run, you know, where Carson, you know, hits the guy on a slant and they just got clean through the secondary and Richard had to run him down at the one. The last one, the ball was high on the snap, you know, and so the timing was just a little bit, you know, challenged. John's great at getting the ball down the ground. Other than that, I don't know, but the ball was high.
In the final drive of the first half, you guys got a field goal, but you had a sequence goal to go. What happened in those three plays, especially the Wilson sneak?
We got knocked back, and we didn't hit it, you know. They played the line of scrimmage better than we did on the runs. And rushed us pretty good. We made a big mistake on the sack on the last play. If that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah, that final play.
Yeah, we airballed their defensive tackle.
What was going on with Cam Chancellor in the first half?
His ankle got jammed a little bit, and then he was able to come back.
What's the biggest difference for your offensive line in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference was everything. I mean, we were able to pass protect, and we were able to run the football, and we were able to see the game plan come to life. You know, in the first half, you couldn't see, you couldn't tell. We just had struggles with all phases of it, and if I knew that, I would have changed it in the except by the second quarter. But the guys did a good job with the players at halftime. The players did a good job to respond, and we were able to come back and play some good ball.
Now, if I'm a Seahawks fan today and I listen to that, I would be fuming. Carroll's always had a sunny disposition. Earlier this year, I wrote about how that would actually be a huge blessing when the team was struggling because he would be able to keep them positive. But at this point, with a team that on paper could easily win the Super Bowl, they really could. From a talent standpoint, they are as good as anybody in the league. He's talking moral victories. We played really well in the second half. You did? Great. The entire issue of the offensive line is being swept kind of under the carpet. The first question was asked him in that press conference, did the issue start up front? Carroll said, we played much better in the second half. Now, I don't know what he's supposed to say because there's no right answer. He can't get up there and throw the entire unit under the bus, obviously. As a coach, he's supposed to protect his players. But the sunny side of life thing only works when there's a chance things could turn around. It's easy to say that in week 8 and have people believe you because he could talk about improvements and they still have time and things like that. But right now, there's no time. The offensive line is terrible, and it's in serious danger of costing this team their season. If they play the way they have been, they're not going to beat anybody in the playoffs. And I'm talking about specifically the offensive line. If they play the way they have been for the majority of the season, they're going to be one and done in the playoffs. And I don't care if it's a home game or a road game. On top of it, from an offensive standpoint, Wilson lost one of his most dynamic playmakers on Saturday as well. Tyler Lockett will end up having to have surgery. He had a really nasty injury to his lower leg, ankle. Surprisingly, they showed it on TV quite a few times. It was really pretty gruesome. Wilson said he got over to Lockett. He actually thought it was a head injury at first. Went over there, saw the blood around his ankle area, knew right away that it was bad. Lockett's going to be out for the season. And it's just a couple weeks removed from him being really promoted to the number two receiver ahead of Kearse. And it's coming at a really bad time because if anybody can help mask the offensive line and not and Wilson not having any time, it's a guy like Lockett who's so slippery, it can get open quick. But he's going to be done. And it was really, you could tell it was tough on the players. And Wilson spoke to the media as well.
You guys doing? Good. And obviously a tough loss. It's a good football team, a physical team. They played just a little bit better than us. And we didn't play very great in the first half. We kind of put ourselves behind the eight ball there. But we had a great second half. We showed the resilience of our football team and what we're capable of. And so, the fight's there. And that's what you want, especially you got one regular season game left on the road against the 49ers, you know, NFC rival. And we know that'll be a battle for sure. And so you have to figure out what we can do better and what we did well and continue to improve on that, especially heading into the playoffs.
How do you explain, I guess, the difference in the offense in the first half and the second half?
Well, I just think we didn't play, they played a little bit better in the first half, and we played great in the second half. I had to watch the film and honestly have to study it and try to figure out where we can get better. Like I said, the focus is on the guys and what we were able to do in the second half, which was really exciting. The defense played extremely tough all night. They made some key plays for us to give us a chance to get back into it. And then offensively, I thought Doug Baldwin was lights out. He made so many great catches, so many great plays. Jimmy Graham made some great plays out there. That one he ran into the end zone was pretty spectacular. I think also Paul Richardson, the play that he made was unbelievable too. That scored a touchdown at the end of the game, and he made some other key catches, and we're going to need him. It's obviously tough to lose, a great friend and a great player in Tyler Lockett. That's disappointing and sad because he's such a great player. Paul Richardson has a chance to step up, which will be exciting for him. He's got all the ability in the world, all the confidence in the world. So we have all the confidence in him. And I think Jermaine Kearse played well tonight too as well.
At halftime, did you have to make adjustments to how you were attacking them or the game plan after you didn't get off to a fast start?
We had to make a couple of adjustments, but more so than anything, it just comes down to execution. You know, we have to execute better. And when we had the chance to execute, and when we do those things, we play at a high level. And so that was really our focus in the second half, and continue to adjust and pick things up and making sure that we're making the first downs and getting plays going there.
Yeah.
Well, it's a tough game, that's for sure.
And, you know, Tyler's such a, like I said, such a special player, such a special person, means so much to our football team. And I made a great catch. I thought it was a touchdown. They ended up changing it. But when we get down there, we were celebrating at this. And then I realized he was on the ground. And because there's a lot of guys around him, realized he was on the ground. And at first I thought it was maybe his head, you know, because how you hit the ground. And then I got close to him, and there's kind of blood everywhere on his ankle and near his ankle and stuff. So that was just kind of a ugly situation, and you just pray for him. You know, you pray for that he can stay encouraged. It may not be right now, obviously, this year, but I know if anybody's strong, it's him, and he's as tough as can be.
Russell, how do you guys find some offensive consistency? It just seems like it continues to be a little bit up and down now with one game left and then postseason.
Where do we find it? I know we have it. You know, it's not like you have to go find it somewhere else. You know, you don't have to go find new players or new coaches or new things, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to execution. It comes down to us doing right longer than the other team, and us doing right one play at a time, and just staying in the moment, and realizing that every play counts, you know, every moment, and not putting ourselves behind the eight ball like we did that in the first half. Got a few penalties and did some. We had some cool plays, and then we had a few penalties to bring us back. And when you're playing a tough defense, they, you know, I believe last week they were, you know, number one defense, you know, or something like that, you know, or the top five defense in the league. And so you have to be able to execute, you know. And we were able to do that in the second half. And so I'm not focusing on the first half as much. I really want to focus on what we were able to do in the second half and the exciting players that we have and the things that we're able to do. And that's where we need to continue our focus and continue to, okay, this is what we can do. Let's continue to do those things. And it's not, like I said, it's not some mystery. And we have all the capabilities in the world.
But with just one game left, here's three things I learned from Saturday's 34-31 Seahawks loss to the Cardinals. Number one, the Dallas Cowboys' method of drafting looks to be ingenious for today's NFL. Let me explain that. For the past four drafts, was really focused on adding mega talent to their offensive line. They said, we're going to have the best line in the league, and that's how we're going to win, no matter how dull it makes our draft day. Because a lot of teams, it feels like, want to win draft day and win the PR and get their fans excited so they'll draft a quarterback or a receiver. Dallas didn't do that. They said, we're going to build with girth up front. We're going to have the best line. We're going to run the ball, and we're going to win. And now they're 12-2 with the best line in the league, and it's not even close. Seattle, on the other hand, has largely neglected the line. Now, in their defense, Seattle's usually picking at the bottom of the first round and then the bottom of the second round because they have been winning. It's a lot easier to get guys at the top of the draft. However, management's failure to improve the offensive line or really focus on it either during the draft or during free agency has officially bitten them in the backside. They can't hide it anymore. Getting Jermaine Afidi last year in the draft in the first round was fine. It's been too little too late. And it's going to take a massive overhaul to fix it, and I don't see how they're going to do it. Unless they trade up in the draft, you're not going to get a top 15 pick. So that's where the big, true elite talented guys are. In the free agency field, they're going to have to go out and overspend to get guys to come to Seattle. It's up to management to decide, are they going to make that a priority, or are they going to keep letting things go the way they are? I think the way this season has gone has been a real eye-opener that, okay, we cannot ignore this problem anymore. Wilson's legs cannot help us overcome everything because he's been injured. And even when he hasn't been injured the last half of the season, he has absolutely no time to do anything. He can't create, he can't stay upright, and the receivers can't get open because there is absolutely no time. Number two, this may be the snake-bitten season, and if you've watched sports for long enough, you've definitely seen it before, especially if you have a team that you really follow. Sometimes, for some reason, a season can just have an off feeling and just be doomed. Whether it's injuries or just a lack of luck, the ball's just always bouncing the other way, or you have a singular unit that is so bad, like Seattle has this year with the offensive line, or a combination of all of those. And now that the season's wrapping up with just one game to go, I think it's time to accept the fact that this may be one of those years for Seattle. From the very beginning, it has been a struggle. I mean, opening week when they barely got past Miami, the second week they go into Los Angeles and lay an egg, and it should have been, we should have seen this coming. And I think a lot of people thought, well, there's no way the offensive line is not going to improve. And Wilson was injured a little bit, so once he gets going, things will be fine. And there have certainly been bright spots. They went into New England and won. They destroyed Carolina a couple weeks ago. But the real, true bright moments have been overshadowed by a lot of very mediocre performances, even in victories. Now you add the injury to Tyler Lockett being the latest to nip them. And they've had Earl Thomas is out for the year. Michael Bennett's missed a large chunk. Thomas Rawls missed a large chunk. Wilson didn't miss any time, but he was really banged up for the first 6 or 7 weeks of the year. This season's kind of starting to feel like a wash. And now the players aren't going to give up and the coaches aren't going to give up. And true diehard fans certainly are not going to give up to the end. And things can turn. And Seattle has so much talent like we talked about before. But I think if you're a fan, it may be time to temper expectations a little bit going into the playoffs and looking at, hey, if we can get a victory or two even, then you start laying the groundwork for next year. Maybe management does identify the areas where they're really struggling and they can come back and turn this thing around because they're not an old team. They're not a super young team, but they're not an old team. There are a lot of guys in the prime of their career who have been there before. Now it'll be a chance, in all likelihood, to see how they bounce back from a little bit of disappointment. Number three, I've never seen a team that thrives more on momentum and confidence than this team does. It was evident during their two Super Bowl appearances recently. They had a belief that absolutely no one would beat them, ever. And when they did lose, it was as if everyone, even the other team, was in shock. But now, any confidence that they display, even at home where they're so normally dominant, just kind of feels hollow. And that's to be expected as things don't go your way. But it's still shocking to watch this team perform when things begin to go sideways. I mean, some teams can feel it going off the rails and bring it back. It doesn't feel like Seattle knows how to do that because I think when they are on and their confidence is high, it's so genuine that when they have to almost fake it and to themselves and tell themselves they're going to be okay, it's as if they don't even believe it. Well, it's pretty simple now for Seattle. Beat the 49ers on Sunday and hope for a lot of chaos in other places. So the two teams that they're battling for, Detroit and Atlanta, they're the ones that are in the way of that second seed. So what needs to happen is tonight Detroit plays Dallas on Monday Night Football. You need to become Cowboy fans. And the next week, New Orleans plays the Falcons. You need to become New Orleans fans. Anything less, and Seattle's probably looking at a road game to open the playoffs. They won't have the bye week to get healthy and really prepare. And the way things are going right now, that unfortunately does have the makings of an early exit. It's really hard to envision this team as they sit now without an extra week of practice and without having that 12th man behind them going in and getting a victory on the road in the playoffs. Now, anything can happen, but it's going to take a major, major turnaround as they sit here today for that to happen. I'll be back next Monday to recap it all. We'll look back at the season ahead, and then I believe we're going to do a season or a playoff preview podcast at some point later next week as well to look forward to, hoping to get a few guests on to provide even more insight as to what this team has gone through and what they can look forward to in the playoffs. But it's been a very interesting season, kind of an odd way to wrap it up next week with their former biggest rival, San Francisco, who's coming, you know, skidding into the end of a horrible season. They're 2-13. They did get a big victory last weekend, but just a real bizarre look at how things have gone for those two franchises. And it'll be interesting to watch where their heads at. San Francisco, they have a chance to add even a little bit more misery to the way Seattle season's finishing if they can get a victory. And you know that for the Seahawks, obviously getting a victory and doing all they can to help secure the number two seed, you would hope they're going to come out fired up and not want to end their season skidding into the end. So it'll be a very interesting game to recap, and we'll look back at the whole season, like I said. But let's hope for a more positive outcome to talk to next Monday. We don't like talking about losses. It's not as fun. So thanks, as always, for listening to Hawks Talk here. It's been a really fun season. We got one more than the playoffs. It's been a lot of fun. As always, this is Hawks Talk on CSN, and I am your host, Joel. Thanks again for listening.